Joining us now, we have a former LPGA Tour player, Symetra Tour player, and now she's a recruiting consultant, Brandi Jackson. Welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So when we're talking recruiting consultant, we're not talking 40 times cone drills or shuttle runs. What are we talking about in terms of golf recruiting?
No, definitely not talking about that. We're talking more, and I do evaluate. So I do try to spend a day with a player if I can. I have players all over the world, actually. So there's some instances where I can't, but I do try to evaluate the physical part of their game. But a lot of what I'm trying to do is help figure out as much of the mental maturity, expectation of playing college golf, and really where are they going to fit when they get to college golf, and help try to place them and, you know, point them in the direction of what's going to be a better fit for them, you know, for what I see underneath things, and not just maybe what they say or what their parents are expecting that they should be doing, and then kind of guide them through that whole process.
Yeah, I mean, your experience as a junior player, and you played in the U.S. Women Amateur, and you played, as Mark said, on the LPGA Tour, you played on the Symetra Tour. You were a proud Furman Paladin. I'm a SoCon guy as well, from Davidson. I'm curious, though, as we look at the recruiting landscape and how it has changed, particularly with in stick and ball team sports, where there's a little bit of a predatory nature going on now, where people are selling the dream that, hey, you know, invest this $10,000 in this and this $20,000 in this and your kid, it'll pay off. And that's just not the reality in team sports. What are you seeing in terms of, like, parents who come to you and say, hey, I've heard that if my kid can shoot level par, I won't have to pay for college?
Yeah, well, the men's and women's side of things is definitely a lot different. Now, if there's a girl out there shooting level par, they probably won't have to pay for college. But the men and women, or the boys and girls from a junior golf perspective, is definitely a lot different landscape for what's available. And I work mostly with girls now. I've worked with boys through a lot of my business, but have shifted over to just the girls. And there's actually a really bad myth that there's all this available money and scholarship money for the girls, and you don't have to be that good. And it really doesn't quite work out like that. And to be honest, you know, everybody is specializing in sports, but a couple of my highest rated recruits and highly sought after recruits were actually multi-sport athletes. They had played soccer. I've got one that's been playing. She plays field hockey and racquetball, I think it is, and still plays that through her freshman year of high school right now. So the coaches are still looking for that multi-sport athlete. And it's hard because everybody feels like you've got to just go all in and do everything you can to turn your son or daughter into this great, you know, athlete in that specific sport, that I think sometimes they lose sight of what you're going to get if you can keep it well-rounded.
And you know, there's the other myth, too, I think, that, you know, college golf just doesn't get a lot of full rides either, do they? I mean, there's a lot of partial scholarships that are out there. So yeah, Sometimes it's maybe that student comes in as a partial, or, you know, it could be a quarter, could be a half, and then they have to kind of work their way up the ladder, don't they?
Yes, especially on the men's side of things. Golf is more of an equivalency sport where there's more players than there are scholarships, unlike football, where it's the same amount of scholarships for the amount of players you need on the team. You know, golf on the men's side, you know, Division I only has 4.5 scholarships. Well, clearly you need more than 4.5 players, so obviously somewhere it's going to get split up. And in some cases, the programs aren't fully funded. On the girls' side, it's a little more likely. Some programs aren't fully funded. But it's a little more likely on the girls' side that if you're one of the top-ranked players, you're going to get a full somewhere, if you're really realistic. Boys' side, a full is almost, not unheard of, but very, very tough to come around in terms of a full golf. So they're always looking for good academics, and you're trying to combine those two, especially if scholarship money is a big deal, that you need the scholarship money.
Yeah,
I mean, trying to find ways to combine it if they can.
Yeah, I mean, need aside, do you run into parents and even children who – they're just seduced by the lure of having or being able to say they're a scholarship athlete,
yeah,
and that they might even choose to go to a lesser institution just sort of for the ego bump, as opposed to a better school they could get into and maybe play at but not receive any money?
Oh, most definitely, yes. And I get it a little on both sides. I get ones that will make a bad decision on where to go based off of the fact that one coach is giving them more scholarship, especially if it's golf scholarship, than the other. So it is more of, you know, just the ego part of being able to say, you know, I'm on a full ride, or, you know, just thinking that coach wants them more because they're willing to give them more golf money. And then I have some that get really focused on the name of the school and wanting to go, you know, somewhere that to be on a particular team just because of the name of the school. But the ego part of that scholarship, that side of things, is very tough sometimes to overcome. And my story, where I ended up at, actually sort of helps explain it. A lot of times I'm the exception on what I did with my process of getting deferment. But that one is one where I had full golf rides at some schools where they were more mid D1 schools, and they just weren't really the right fit for me, and I really wanted to play at Furman. And I had to combine academics with golf with grant money that I was getting, because I did get financial aid because we didn't have the money to send me there, and came up with a full ride. But I've never, you know, I wasn't able to say I am on a golf scholarship. I was on partial of everything else. So what I try to emphasize is about finding the right fit and the best fit. And if it means maybe having to spend a little bit of money and you can handle that, that means more than the fact that, you know, you're getting something, you know, from golf-wise at another school or something like that.
Yeah, it's really a shame how many students make the poor decision just based on ego or based on what team they were a fan of or whatever. I come out of football coaching, and I had a player recruited everywhere. And the night before letter of intent, he called me, and he said, you know, I'm down to Virginia, Carolina, and Notre Dame. And I sort of took him through it, and I said, where did you feel most at home? And it was funny, he didn't feel most at home at Notre Dame. And I said, well, then you don't go to Notre Dame. And he said, but coach, you made me watch Rudy on every road trip. How can I say no to Notre Dame? I said, it's just a movie, go to Virginia. And he did, and it ended up being the right fit. And it's so important. So how do you convince people, how do you tell them how important it is to have the right fit?
It's definitely tough, because I feel like sometimes, and I get called the dream killer sometimes, because I have these kids that have this big goal of playing at those big schools like that, like a Virginia and a Notre Dame. And sometimes that, you know, sometimes I do have to base things off of potential, and I don't always, you know, it's not just my opinion that matters. So sometimes I want to let them continue to keep that dream a little bit, because the bigger the dream, the harder they're going to work and the more they're going to work at something. And I want that. But at the end of the day, sometimes I actually see the work ethic and see their personality's not a really good fit. So I try to convince them that it's more of that and not so much that their game's not good enough. And like I said, I love the kids that have those big dreams and work hard at it, but it's so hard to see them just put so much pressure on themselves and hurt themselves and hurt their game just because they feel like that should be the goal, because those are the big schools and that's where, you know, that's what it's all about. And they end up just hurting themselves and not having fun with it. And I hate to see that. So I try to find ways, depending on players' personalities, to get them to understand, you know, not telling them they're not good enough and not wanting them to just settle for a lesser-ranked school, but just figuring out that it's not all it is cracked up to be, and it doesn't have to be your goal just because you feel like those should be the schools you want to go to. And in trying, some of them it's hard. Some from the very beginning are pretty realistic and open. Others, sometimes they wait till it's too late to finally realize that those just aren't going to be options, and then it's really trying to play catch up at that point.
Again, Brandi Jackson, former LPGA Tour, Symetra Tour player, and now recruiting consultant, is joining us. And Brandi, you know, a few years back, my Clemson Tigers added a women's golf program. Are you seeing an uptick in programs being added on the women's side?
Somewhat, and actually, while I'm a Furman grad, I'm a Clemson Tiger, born and raised Clemson Tiger fan, so I actually loved that, but unfortunately, like you said, they just added women's golf, so I grew up in a Clemson family, and loved when they added women's golf. Just unfortunately came about 15 years too late for me, and I love Furman. It might would have still gone there anyways, because of I love the education and the coach and all that, but sidetrack on that. You are seeing some, I mean, Clemson's added, Virginia Tech added, they're in their third or fourth season as well. They were added right maybe a year after Clemson, I think. So they have, and UNC Charlotte just added their women's golf program. So this fall coming up will be their first season. So you're seeing some add, I think, because I think they do see that there's that need and that demand out there. Financially, I think if there already is a men's team and you've already got a facility, it's not that much of a difference to be able to add a women's team, and it's a smaller team. You're getting usually really good quality kids coming in that, you know, that are very disciplined and hardworking girls who, you know, to play golf, it really takes a lot of that. So I think some schools are seeing that. and hope they continue to, because there are still some schools out there, Georgia Tech, West Virginia, you know, a handful of, you know, well-known schools that still don't have women's golf.
Well, you know, admittedly, I'm going to ask you to paint with a very broad brush, but if you have a junior player, say a 10 or 11-year-old, who's shown some enjoyment in the game and they seem to, you know, have a little bit of talent or whatever, and they're aspiring to play through the juniors in high school and maybe into college or whatever, what kind of advice would you give those families about how to manage the expectations and manage the sort of the career arc of it?
Oh, goodness. That probably is going to be my stereotypical answer of it depends, which is my answer for a lot of the questions I get asked about recruiting. In a way, it kind of does. It depends on what that goal is for the kids. You know, I had a dad come to me when the son was in sixth grade, and I was working with the older with his daughter, who was a couple years older, and helping her with recruiting. And he already wanted to get this team together for his son and didn't even know they were thinking about college and thinking, you know, going on pro and agents and all this stuff. And the kid was in sixth grade.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to be a part of this right now. Like, let him play golf. So it is a little different from family to family, just in terms of the financial part of what they can commit to, what really is the player's goal with all this, and trying to match that up and help them, you know, kind of navigate all those expectations. Because, you know, I have some players whose, you know, families are very wealthy, and they can have a swing coach and a short game coach and a mental coach and fitness, and every tournament that they need to play in, you know, they can travel to and get there. And then I have ones that are, you know, they have to plan out, you know, they're really, you know, struggling for every little piece of everything. So obviously it's a little different process based off of some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I faced this a little bit with my daughter, who's a swimmer, and she showed some ability or whatever at 5 or 6, and which was funny because they'll never ask me to coach. Swimming for me is just a way to keep from drowning, but she seems to really enjoy it. So, but at age 5, the sort of swim community was saying, oh, she needs to swim year-round. And I was thinking, well, no, she needs to eat crayons and paste and put things up her nose. She doesn't need to focus on anything that much. But the individual sports are different, and there is a sense that that kind of dedication is needed. If you look at the ACC media guide, for example, across all sports, most of their stick and ball athletes, their team sport athletes, did play multiple sports through high school, and it's just a matter of it's social Darwinism. You know, the cream is going to rise. How do you deal with that with an individual sport where the, you know, can you convince these kids and these parents to, hey, let the kid play lacrosse, let the kid play soccer, let them do what? Is that a battle that you can fight, and is it definitely worth winning?
I try to, and I get asked this a good bit at that 7th, 8th grade age, you know, when does, you know, the daughter wants to keep playing something, and the parents, you know, do we need to give this up? And sometimes it depends on what season it is. I mean, golf is and always, even from when I was in junior golf, tended to be, it is a year-round sport. I mean, it's one of the few in college that has two seasons, and then you're expected to play during the summer as well, and not just, you know, training, taking, you know, a little time off. I mean, it's competition, you know, year round, and golf's always been that way. So it is kind of hard to see players take time off. But again, like I said, the multi-sport athletes, I was multi-sport. I played volleyball through high school, played basketball till my sophomore year. So I wouldn't trade that in for the world. And I tell those families that, but when certain seasons overlap, some really important times with golf, I try to get them to at least get through middle school with it. I always say, just at least try to let them get through middle school. And then if they want to focus on golf from that point, but, you know, if they can handle it, and yeah, maybe they come out spring and they're not totally ready, but I have girls that can play golf all spring, I mean, all winter, and hit indoors or whatever it might be, and they still aren't ready to start a spring season any more than somebody who's played basketball through the winter. I know they're worried about injuries and all that, but I try to get them to at least stay in one other sport if they can through middle school. Whatever, maybe swimming. I've had some that dance, you know, and at least try to get to that stage. And then if they can balance a little bit after that, then I say go do it. And then a lot of them sophomore year does help to cut back a little because school gets very stressful. You are trying to do some of the recruiting stuff. It does help to maybe really focus on it by that point.
All right, Brandy, before we let you go, because we're up against it, remind everybody how they can get a hold of you if they want to get more information.
Yes, they can check out my website is brandyjacksongolf.com, and that's a Brandy with an I. And all my social media is B Jackson Goff. You can follow me on all that. I'm always posting and recruiting stuff and fun things and life skills and all kinds of good stuff on there. So you can follow me at any of that as well.
All right. Well, awesome. We appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.